Because each one of us know what was, or hear what was read today out of Revelation 2. It was a kind of like a letter. And it was a letter that was written to a church. It's like the same thing as here. But the name of this place is Kalulu. But this one here is called Pergamos. So, a letter to the church of Pergamos, or we could say today, the Lord is giving a letter to the church of Kalulu. Because when the Lord gives in Revelation 2 all of these letters to the churches, he means to say this. To the church of Pergamos and to all of the churches that will gather in my name until I come back. So we're going to learn today what the Lord, what was in the letter to Pergamos. But before we begin, we need to understand something. Because maybe we will think as we learn what the letter talks about, maybe we'll think, oh, but that was for Pergamos. And maybe we might even think, ah, Pergamos, what silly people. They were terrible people. Why did they do such things? Maybe our own heart today we'll say this. I'm so glad we're not like Pergamos. We are much better. But be careful. Slow down. The letter to Pergamos is actually a letter to
Kalulu.
And even more, it becomes personal. So the Lord wants to speak to us today. And first he speaks to us as a church. So he always, in his word, he always speaks to us as one. That's first. Because the leaders, they are responsible for the people. But doesn't stop there. The fathers are responsible for her wife and children. But it doesn't stop there. Mothers are responsible for the children. But it doesn't stop there. Older children are responsible for the did you know that, children? When the Bible is being read, that is being read to you, and that God is saying to you, what you hear out of the Bible, I want you to show your little brothers and sisters. What I'm telling you. Did you know that? You have a responsibility, children. Mothers, listen. We all will be responsible for our own soul. But the Lord gave you children. And He gave us His Word. And everything we hear in His Word, the Lord makes us responsible to give in word and deed to children. Very quickly, and then we're going to move on. You remember in the teaching, man was made from dust. The woman was made from a rib from Adam. Do you know why? This is biblical teaching that's going to draw us a little deeper. So, just to be sure, the women are not a byproduct of the men. But a rib was taken. Why? To represent something. If God wanted to, He could have made Eve out of the dust as well. Listen carefully. It's everything in the Bible symbolizes or represents. Do you know what it represents? If you're busy with the things of the Bible, and that's your heart's desire, you'll know what it represents. Because if Christ dwelleth in you, then the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Teachers, if Christ dwells in me, the Holy Spirit pours out. Then it's not a puzzle. And it's not just some maybe valuable information, but it's a precious truth. What does it represent? Lord, man was made out of dust. Woman was made from the dust. See, because our dear friend would have been busy all week. I hope. Taking this. And I think this morning, he was upon his knees. Lord, I must teach these people. Lord, what do I teach them? Lord, what do you mean? Man made from the dust. Woman from the rib. Oh, Holy Spirit. What do I tell you? That will be to your honor. What does it represent? It represents this. Listen. Glorious. Christ is the man. Who is the woman? His bride. His bride, which is the people that he saves, cleanses, washes, and saves. Represents the woman. Christ the man. The woman under the man represents Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Mary, Martha, Lazarus. All of the saints in the Bible represents the woman, the bride. And Christ, the man, marries the woman. Now, why a rib? Listen carefully. You can't get closer to the heart, can you?
Why?
If God would took the heart of Adam, Adam couldn't live anymore. He took that which was closest to the heart. And did you know something? The bone, the rib, does a lot of things. Take your ribs away, you die. The ribs protect the heart. Do you see this representation? That's why a man glories in his wife. That's why the best possession a man has on this earth is his wife. One of them. Why? Because Christ only has one wife. You see? What a representation. And you know what's greater yet? Christ, the man, took his bride and became equal. Think about this. He became one.
Yes, Mungankwadi, I will not quite believe you. Where are you? How come? How come?
Think about this for a moment. Christ was glorious.
Yesu ali kulemelero.
In glory, he's God.
Yesu amene ali kulemelero mwamba.
Sinless.
Muntosa kimwa.
Righteous.
Mutolungama.
From eternity to eternity. Holy. And a bride. That is dirty. Defiled. Sinner. Wicked. Haters of God. And what happens? They come together. How is that possible? And they come together, and Christ, you know what he does? He takes his bride, and he washes by his blood. Do you hear this? He takes care of his bride. He loves his bride. He cherishes his bride. And he adores his wife. Christ adores his wife. What a representation. And you know what I have to say? I'm ashamed. Because I'm called as a husband to adore my wife. Christ does it perfectly. Are you ashamed? You see, now it gets a little deeper, doesn't it? Because if we look all around us in the village, can any husband say this? I love my one wife like Christ loves his wife. You see? Now just look around us. And we have to say this. Unless we're high-minded. We have to say this. Woe is me! Woe is me! And I think each husband has to say the same. Who honors and cherishes their wife like Christ? But so us men here, all of us, we're convicted. Because we're striking. God's word always strikes us right into our conscience. And it breaks us open. We try to sing our conscience to sleep like a lullaby. But his word breaks it open and says, Guilty. So we cry out for mercy. Lord, my marriage is a mess. I don't even know where my wife is. I've had many wives. I don't even know where my kids are. Have mercy, Lord. You see, a how different it is today. Do you know what we have today? We have men who are high-minded and who walk around and say, she's no good. She should take better care of me. Away with her. Does that represent Christ in his
life?
Now we've spoken about the men. And let's just be convicted. Let's not be high-minded and say, no, I'm not like that. The people in the village who are like that, but I'm not like that. No, search yourself. But there's an other side to this. Because Christ adores and cherishes his bride. But what does his bride do in return? Woman,
as a man,
let the Holy Spirit convict you. What does his bride do? Does his bride honor and glory
man?
See, because that's the other side. His Christ bride is called upon. Christ says to his bride, I love you with all of my heart. And I give my life for you. His bride honors and glories him. So that means a wife here on earth is representing Christ's
bride.
And listen. Do you agree that wives here on earth are not very good at representing the bride of Christ? Let this come into our hearts. How is the bride or the wives of today representing Christ's bride? You see? We are all convicted now, aren't we? The husband, the wife, man, woman. Created to represent Christ and his bride. Now let's go further. My prayer is that we are all convicted now. Because we can bring out some truths. We can even use this book to bring out some general truths.
Kwa 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 kwa
But truth will not save us. Only Christ will. Let's go back to here. We told you that a letter was being brought to us. And this letter brought to Pergamos has very specific instruction. Very specifically does the Lord teach or bring to these people a conviction. It says, and to the angel of the church of Pergamos write. So John has to write what the messenger, which they're calling angel, which the messenger tells him to write to the people. And he says in verse 13, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. So he begins, we have to quickly understand what the Lord is writing here, also for us today. And he's saying, I know thy works, and I know where your town of Pergamos is. I know everything that's happening there. What does he mean? He's saying this. He's saying, I'm watching you. And I know that you're in a city that is in big, big danger. Why? He gives the answer himself. We don't have to guess. He says, in Pergamos is the seat of Satan. What does this mean? What's a seat? We sit on a seat. And if I sit on a seat, I'm here to stay a while. I'm not coming in and out. I'm coming to spend time. What's the very first thing you do when someone comes into your home? You get him a chair or a seat and invite him to stay a while. So, we also know that Jesus Christ has a seat. And where is his seat? In heaven. And his seat is called what? What is his seat called? Someone give me an answer. Yeah? But what we call this seat a chair. What is the seat of Christ called?
We are dealing with the Bandwai Susu in Dinanagi, Mamba.
It's a throne. The great white throne is where Christ sits on. Now, do you think for a moment that Satan doesn't have a throne? Satan has a throne too. And so, the Lord says here, I know where you live, and I know whereabouts the church is amongst. It's even where Satan has his throne. Satan has his throne. He's there to stay in Pergamon. Why? Why is that? I want you to make application to yourself and to our church here
today.
And let me ask a question and answer it. Is Satan throne here? Has Satan been let into the church here? Don't be quick to answer. Question number two. And each of you ask yourself that. Does Satan have his throne in your heart? Don't be quick to answer. Because the Lord had to tell them that Satan was there, they didn't even know. Does Satan have his throne here in the church? If you pay attention, you're going to understand this. We're going to get there. But I want you to keep this question with you. Two questions. Does Satan have his throne amongst us here? Has he gotten comfortable upon his seat? And question number two, has Satan taken his place in your heart? So first question as a church, and second as personal. And now I want to go to the text that we're going to unfold today. Verse 14. But I have a few things against thee, because that thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So now comes examination. Because the Lord has something against Pergamos. Does the Lord have anything against Kalulu? And does the Lord have anything against us, each one of us? The only way we're going to know is to examine. Are you willing to examine? Have you come here today with a prayer? Lord, teach me. Or have you come here asleep? I don't even mean in the first place literally sleeping. Are you sleeping in your soul? Because if we're sleeping in spirit, we don't know where Satan sees us. Come with to be able to understand a little bit of what the doctrine of Balaam is, we need to go all the way back to the Old Testament. I know there's some of you who want to read it later. It's in the book of Numbers. And chapter 22, 23, 24.
Four full chapters.
You can understand that we can't read all of those four chapters. So you read it when you get home. But today I will try to bring it to sum it up for you so we can understand today. Balaam gave Barak advice. And so the Lord in Revelation 2 to the letter of Pergamos calls it a doctrine. Does everyone know what a doctrine is? If you don't know what a doctrine is, tell me. Put your hand up. Let me just say it in a few words. A doctrine is something that is compiled together that one may believe into and of. So, a doctrine is something that is taught and explained based on one's belief. Maybe I can give an example. If we look at the sky and we see sun, moon, and stars. And it's hard to comprehend. We have the world. And how is it possible that everything moves around the earth and the earth turns? We need understanding for that. The sun moves around the earth, and thereby we understand that half of our day is dark and the other half is light based on where the sun is. And when we explain this, it's kind of the same idea as a doctor. Now, there is many doctors around. These people who are worshiping over here, in different worship buildings, have a different doctrine than our doctrine. You have Roman Catholic doctrine, you have Muslim doctrine. And if you ask a Muslim what his doctrine is, they will explain who Allah is and Muhammad and all of the things contained there. Right. Now, we know there's only one true doctor. And that's the doctrine of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But listen carefully, because many doctrines that are not true doctrines are very close to the doctrine of Christ. And this is why the Lord says here, there's some people in the church who are holding on to the doctrine of Balaam. What is the doctrine of Christ? Christ came in due season, in due time, died for the ungodly, paid with his blood, and saved his elect from death and gave him life. But the doctrine of Balaam was a little bit different. And the doctrine of Balaam is a really, really, it's probably, Let me tell you this so you can understand. It's probably the biggest doctrine in Malawi. The doctrine of Balaam is probably the biggest doctrine in Malawi today. And you might say, I don't even know the doctrine of Balaam. That's why it's so necessary to listen. What is the doctrine of Balaam? If you heard the word, it tells you what the doctrine is. Who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. What kind of doctrine is that? It sounds like we don't know anything about that doctrine. But if you go, if we look at the at what took place in Numbers 22 to 25, it's very sneaky. And if Satan has his seat here, then it has been sneaking into this church too. What took place? Israel came out of Egypt. And as they come out of Egypt, the Lord told Israel that all of the lands that they go into must be destroyed. Which they did. Over and over again. And now they've come to a place. Where Israel is encamped close to
Moab,
and they're on the way to Canaan. They're living in tents, and Balak, who was a king, was scared. Let me just ask, does anyone want me to continue? Just put your hand up if you want me to continue. Because I'm wondering if I... Are you understanding so far? Because I see a lot of yawns and a lot of tired, and so if you want me to stop, I can stop. It's okay. I'm only here if you want to hear. But if you do, that's okay. Yes? Okay. As long as there's enough people who want to keep listening, otherwise
we...
Balak was a king. And he went onto the top of the mountain. And he looked across the span, he seen all of Israel. And he was terrified. He was scared of it because he was scared we're going to get destroyed. Worst of all, he heard that they had a God whom was not like any other God. So he needed a plan. He knew if we would fight against Israel, that God will defeat us. So being worried and being scared and fearful, he thought, He probably consulted with his cabinet. What do we do? But he knows of a man whose name is Bala. And this man, Balak, he has something special about him. He has kind of a prophecy, ability to prophesy. And kind of an ability to tell things and say things that are happening and will happen. And I want you not to make a mistake here. Because this Balak even received word from God. But Balak did it all for his own honor. What does this mean? If today he had to forecast or prophesy for one of the countries, and that country was, their God was God Zeus, he would use enchantments. And remember, there was no living God, but through Satan he would receive knowledge. And he was able to using enchantments and a different series of different ways, one of those mystic balls, one of those balls that they look into, he was able to predict things. So this Barak was a very prominent man. And Balak, the king, said, that's who we need him to come and predict what's going to happen with all of Israel. And not only this, he wanted Balak, through his enchantments, through his ways, to curse
Israel.
What does that sound like in Malawi? I told you, it's probably the biggest doctrine in Malawi right now. What does it sound like? Who wants to give an answer? What are you the most fearful for here in Malawi? What is Malawi the most fearful for? Witchcraft. Now listen, because we might think, how is it possible that The Lord was speaking through Balak, and yet Balak practiced witchcraft. Please don't forget to read Numbers 22 to 25, but I'll just read one verse. Just one verse to help us. Chapter 24, Numbers chapter 24. And just the first verse. Listen to what we read. And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not, as at other times, to seek for enchantments, but he set his face to the wilderness.
Chapter 24, verse 1. Awiko amene Balaam anaona kuti kudakomera pamaso pa Yehova kudalitsa Israeli sanamuke monga wanthawi zija kunyanga zolodzera koma anayangʼana ngʼombe yake mʼchipululu.
Balaam was so good that he understood if I am going to be hired for Israel to curse Israel, I know who I need to go to. I need to put my enchantments aside because that their God is a living God. You know what this means? He put his face to the wilderness. Because that God is not a God of the stars or of the moon or of the sun or a big image. But this God is the God of the wilderness. Why? Are you following? This is doctrine. And you need to search yourself, and I need to search myself. Balaam was so good that look what he does. He looks, faces the wilderness from where Israel came. They went through the
wilderness.
I know this is hard for you to understand. But I am praying that it's working in your heart right now. I'm praying with all my heart. Because this doctrine teaches us that when the work of Satan is to do this. Satan is so smart. He's so good that he comes into our heart from where we came from. Now, listen. If Jesus Christ has been revealed to you, and if you are a believer, which side do you think Satan is going to take you from? Don't be silly. That Satan comes to us with Muslim doctrine. that doesn't really bother us. But he's all, Satan is always going to come from where you came from. If you're a believer, then the blood of Jesus Christ saved you. And Satan is
going to
challenge you. What's in the blood of Christ? So what? The blood of Christ is nothing. There is no power in the blood of Christ. It's nothing. Do you think Satan's going to get you from another doctor? He's going to strike you exactly where you came from. Listen. Do you know what the biggest trial for a Christian is today? Do you know what the biggest trial is? Unbelief. Not believing that Christ died for me. And why? Because Satan is going to show you where you came from. To stir up unbelief. That's why Paul says, I, wretched man that I am, I persecuted the church. I was a very zealous religious person. And another person might say this. Listen carefully. When Christ works in your heart, if he's working in your heart right now, then Christ comes with all the power and glory of himself. But Satan says this, you, look what you were 5 years ago. You were an adulterer. You did abortion. You were stealing. You ran away from home and did all kinds of evil things. You lied and lied and lied. You ran away from your wife, or a wife ran away from your husband. He's going to bring you back to where you come from.
Sorry, it's hard to focus. Yes.
And so, the doctrine of Balaam. The doctrine of Balaam here shows us what Balaam really was like. Let's go back. Balaam points his hand towards the wilderness. And now, he's not using enchantments. He's not going to a witch doctor. But now, he knows The only way I can do something
here
is I need to get to the God of this
meeting.
Right? So now you will go to this, and God even speaks through
Balaam.
You're going to read it, but I'm going to give you quickly what happened. What happened was, Balaam went on top of the mountain with Balak, and Balak wanted Balaam to curse those people. But with this God, the living God,
Balaam
is going to experience something different. God sends an angel with a sword. Balaam is riding on the donkey. Balaam doesn't see the angel with the sword, but the donkey does. And the donkey won't go further because he sees the angel. And even the donkey speaks and says, "Why do you smite
me?"
What's happening there? God says this. You're coming to me to ask or to come to me so that I may curse those people. But they're my people. And you won't be cursing them. Instead, I will use you to tell Balak or show Balak that I have a blessing for those people. And you have nothing to say but what I give you. The Lord God is doing this. He's saying, Balak, you go to the other God, which is all the seat of Satan. They all have one king, and that's Satan. Balak, for all the things, the advice you give, you go to Satan and enchantments, to witchcraft. But now you recognize something, that this God, that I am the God of Israel, and you recognized it right. And now I'm going to use you to prophesy. But something sad happened. As Balak wanted to curse those people, he had to bless them. And while blessing them, Balak became angry. And Balaam said, "I can't do anything
else."
Balak was going to make Balaam very rich.
And
But Balaam had to answer, even if you give me all the gold and the silver, I can't go against this one God. But this is where the story turns. Balaam blesses them. But Balaam, very smart man, he finds a new way. After the Israel has been blessed and everything is done, he goes to Balak and he says this, I had to bless them, I couldn't curse them. There's something else I know about those people. You can easily entice those people. See, this is what Satan always does. And he says to Balaam, their God is a very jealous God. And if you can get them to our or your gods, he will destroy them. Are you following? So this is Satan. He goes in a different way. And he says, Balak, all you have to do is entice them. And if you can entice them, then they will sin. And their God is a righteous God. He knows no sin. So he's going to have to punish them. And if you're successful with that, their God will punish them and they'll be destroyed. Are we still making application to ourselves? I know maybe this is a little bit difficult. But it's only difficult because we don't read our Bibles. Because it's really simple, actually. So, now listen carefully, because in Revelation it says, there's a whole bunch of you that hold the doctrine of Balaam. I'll finish before we make application. Balak makes a big idol. And in those days, now too, but we'll make application in a moment. The big idol that he made had to do with immorality, sexual immorality. Then he brought lots of food. And he went over to Israel. And he said, come, celebrate with us. Our service is a fun service. We dance. around this altar or this big image. We make merry. And Israel was at first a little bit nervous. God allowed this. But a few people went. A few men went. And they
drank.
And they ate. And they ate. But before they ate, the meat that they ate was sacrificed to that big
idol.
So they got drunk and ate sacrifice. But worse yet, this sacrifice was wrapped up in
whoredom.
So they began to intermingle with the woman of Moab. And first it was a few men maybe. But then they came back to the camp of Israel and said, "Oh, we love this servant. And they attracted all kinds of
others."
Let's read verse 14 again. "But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit fornication."
Kuti age zoperekedwa msembe kwa mafano nazi techikololo.
So what happened?
Chila chika nchani soba na chika nchani.
Israel left their God.
Ndebuta kapasuwa na Israel kusia mungu wao.
And almost blindly went into a service of fornication and idol worship.
Ndebuta Israel kusia mungu wao soba na akopepeza kipembezo.
See how sneaky this is? Now, let's start to make application. I know time is. But let's make application today. Because maybe you say, "But we don't dance around idols. And we don't sacrifice food to those idols." Do we? It's happening today. It's happening right in this town. It's happening in this village. And Satan's seed is in this village. It's so much here that my spirit is warring as I'm preaching. Because Satan is so angry that I'm bringing
you.
There's a war going on. It's not very often that I preach that I have such a spiritual war going on. What does this mean here?
Kodi mauro yani pakati patu.
That the doctrine of Balak is also in collusion.
Tikamaina kuona kuti chipundiso cha Balak unoso kwangu chiri poroto yani.
You know what it is?
Mukuziwa kodi?
It's really simple.
Akuti tifurati foro kose mokweka.
Fornication,
Dama,
idolatry,
Boro.
They go together. And we know what fornication is, do we? Fornication is not the same as idolatry. Fornication is sexual immorality between one who is married and one who is not, or married with another.
Tikati dama ndikoti anthu osakwanira kupanga chigololo.
Idolatry is when a married woman or a married husband leaves them and goes to another.
Ndi mbali ina tikati chigololo kuona kuti anthu okwatira ndi mwachitatu bambo okwatira kusiya mkazi wakugona ndi mkazi wina kapena kuti mkazi okwatira akusiya mwamuna wake.
Fornication is when a man or a woman is married or not married and goes and practices immorality. I hope that's understandable.
And let me explain this. Tukulenda kuti mamuna wokwatira nosakwatira ndi mkazi wokwatira nosakwatira kupanga chigololo ere. Koma tikati chigololo ndikuti munthu wokwatira munthu wa baba wokwatira kusiya mkazi wake wayani mkazi wina kapena kwatira mkazi wina. Kapena kuti mayi wokwatira kusiya mamuna wake kwagona ndi munthu wina wokwatira chimene ndi chigololo. I think it's clear now.
So, where's our idol? If this doctrine is practiced in Kululu, where is the idol? Does anyone know where the idol is? Do you recognize your idol and my idol? Now let me ask you a question. Is your idol the Bible? If this is your idol, then it's a good idol. But maybe your idol is in your pocket. Maybe that little cell phone is your
idol.
Now, how are we going to know that? If you have a cell phone, but you don't have a Bible, then
it's
your idol. Because you can buy a Bible cheaper than a cell phone. So if you have a cell phone, but you don't have a Bible, that's an automatic. But maybe you have a Bible and a cell phone. The second way to know that your cell phone is an idol over the, your cell phone is an idol. How much time do you spend on your cell phone? Do you spend more time in the Bible than on the cell phone? Because how quickly can a cell phone become an idol? What's your idol? Self-examination. Because the Lord is saying to the church at Pergamos, you have some there that are teaching the doctrine of Balaam. And what does that mean? That means this, that there's some in the church that like the doctrine of
Balaam.
And since they like the doctrine of Balaam, they're saying this. It doesn't really matter what we do. See, because here in Malawi, they even try to prove that it's right that men and women separate. And they even use the Bible for that. We are all happy dancing Christians. And almost all of each of the churches I go to, I notice, husband and wives are not together. Do you recognize this? We have a problem. The doctrine of Balaam is saturating our churches. Because on the one hand, we are Christians. God is good. Everything is okay. And I can dance, I can sing. And on the other hand, I go, just like these Israelites, to the idol, whatever your idol is. And commit fornication. You see how close this doctrine is to the doctrine of today? And the Lord is saying, I see in the church this doctrine where I promised to take care of them. I promised to be their God. But at night time, they're sneaking to the camp of the idol. Worst of all, even the church leaders are doing that. Because, worst of all, what was happening there in Israel, the priest, all the priests in the worship of God, they were sneaking off to idol worship too. When the priest should have said, stop! Don't commit this awful sin. But Balak was even smarter than Israel. Because Satan is smart. And he knows exactly where to get it. Is the seat of Satan in this room today? And is Satan sitting in our hearts?
kuda muri kodinanga sadana aika mpando mwe wako na mtima mwako.
I said in the beginning, don't be quick to answer.
Wa anakuza kuda kuda kusana sana kusoi.
You see, listen. Balaam said to Balak,
muona mimi Balaka anapita kwa Balak kwa kwamuza.
All you have to do is build an altar.
Kimele kusafudile kimele kunaile huyo ibisani
bring out the strong drink.
Mudenge na miara mbange kuwa la sembe.
Sacrifice meat to the idol and feed it to them.
Mbareso mbana mpere sembe nyama mpere sembe kwa mafano.
Give them prostitutes.
Ndea basi ni mahule kilinje na ukamena na mbukuna mahule.
And God will destroy them.
Jibo kadero shona mbibizo mafano kumunga jao mbuna.
Smart.
Ujia njilawe?
Balaam said, I'm not allowed to curse them. I don't have the power to curse them. Because God is stronger than Satan. But there's another way. And it works. And that's why he's warning here to Pergamos. Church, wake up. If you are leading this church, wake up. Where is Satan in this village? And now, just answer for yourself. And if you want, you can answer out loud if you are willing to.
There's
a church there. There was a church there.
A
church over there. Everywhere I go,
churches.
But
come
on. At
night
time. Most
members.
I see it. We're in trouble. Christianity has a name. But what's happening? In the darkness. Husbands. Very, very few husbands with their own wives. But what is so terrible is everyone is singing. And everywhere I see, God is good, God is
good.
You know what it looks like? When we come into Malawi, it looks like Malawi is the most blessed country in all the world. It seems like to us Westerners, when we just come walking in, Malawi is so blessed. Everyone says God is good. Everyone is singing and dancing. Everyone seems happy. Everyone is saying, crying out, hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Christ is King. Until you start looking deeper. And you look a little closer. And then you know what you find? The doctrine of
Balaam.
You see, but now is still the time. And Satan does not want me as a preacher to stir this up. Because Satan is giving everyone rest. And this doctrine of luring people astray in fornication, as long as you go to church and pray, and as long as you cover our sins with singing, giving money, then it's okay. But it's not okay. And it starts in the church. I only brought one idol up, and that was the cell phone. But we could go on for so long. What else? What other idols is there? A bottle of Malawian gin. That's an idol too. Because I see them walking and they can't walk anymore. Drinking until they're so drunk. That's an idol. What happens when we're drunk? We commit fornication. We don't like to expose things. But if we don't expose them today, we will stand before God one day and everything will be exposed. And it will be too late. Let our heart be exposed today. You see, because the Lord says this in verse 16. I wish we had 2 more hours to discuss. Because there's so much more to say, but I see I'm out of time. But I have to say this before we finish. Verse 16. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He's asking today, if here in the church, and maybe in your heart, you hold the doctrine of
Balaam,
he's asking, he's pleading with you. He's pleading with us. Repent. Repent. He says, repent. Unless I come quickly. And he also uses symbolism here. I will come with the sword. And what is that? Oh, this is you need to know this. He says, the sword of my mouth. What does this symbolize? It symbolizes this. If I speak, it will be done. And if my mouth, through my mouth I speak, and through my mouth, I bless and I curse. And he's saying this. Malawi repents. Kalulu repents. And he's saying to us individually, repent. Because if I come with the sword, which is my mouth, and I curse, you will not be blessed. Look at this for a moment. Think about this. For As long as you live,
kwanza ni mwili moyo.
You've been trying and seeking to be blessed.
Kuti makamu na kufuna kuti ndalitsiwe.
Malawi is in poverty.
Kuti Malawi si dziko lori ndi mumphawi.
Malawi is experiencing all kinds of trouble.
Malawi kuma ina vuto wa moyo osenesiyani.
Mimi ngata uzatwa. I won't bless until they repent.
Sindialisa pokapoka kwawa hape.
Malawi, Malawi, repent.
Zibola Malawi, rapa.
Because the curse, the sword of the curse, has already come over
me.
But he's not saying it's done, it's over with. But he's pleading with us. And he's pleading with you individually. Repent. Repent. Lest I make the curse worse in Malawi. This is what he's saying. And he starts in
Kulundu.
Go a little closer. It starts with
you.
It starts with you. It starts in the church. And it starts in Kulundu. That's where it starts. Don't think an other village has to be an example, and then we will be an example. And I promise you this. I promise you this out of the Word of God. If Kalulu repents, and Kalulu turns back to the Lord today, this week, God Himself will richly bless
Kalulu.
And you will be an example of His mercy. Maybe you say, don't believe. But I assure you, by the Word of God, if Kalulu repents, and maybe you say, that's too big an area. I assure you this. If Kulundu, this little church, repents, God will bless. And let's go a little further. If you and I personally repent,
yes, because
of the doctrine of Balak that is in us, the Lord will bless you personally. And I'm not saying the Lord will make you a millionaire, because we don't need that. I'm saying you will receive rest. You will receive a relationship blessing. A blessing in your marriage. A blessing with your children. Maybe in your work. Whatever it might be, whatever your struggle is, the Lord will bless you, because He promised. But if we don't repent, we shall go to the grave in sorrow and in trial, and we shall die without hope, without glory. And we will meet the Lord. The Lord will say, I sent an Azungu preacher to tell you the truth, but you didn't repent. Not that the preacher has anything better than you. But the preacher used my word. And the preacher read to you. Revelation chapter 2. Verse 16. Repent or else I will come unto
thee.
And I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Amen.
Amen.